Our scripture passage this morning, very short and sweet, but there's definitely more than enough to talk about in this opening blessing that we have here from Jesus, blessings among several of them, which we commonly call the Beatitudes here. But before we get into this, I don't know about you, but have you been noticing that in the news just recently, just in the past week or so, it's just been especially bad? Something that I've noticed that, I mean, there's always bad news being reported, right? But it just seems that it's just been especially troubling recently. I mean, we just turn on the news, right? Or we read something and just literally for 1 minute, and we already start to get depressed, right, about what's happening in the world. But it just seems pretty bad. I mean, many mass shootings in the U.S. everywhere right now, gun violence just out of control right now. There's a serious avian flu pandemic going on right now in the U.S., killing off birds. This is having a huge impact right now on the poultry industry right now. All kinds of reports coming out right now that just kind of exacerbates the bad news, just because it's the end of the year. It's beginning of the new year, and so all these reports coming out about, you know, reviewing 2022 and just kind of makes things seem worse. There's a report came out that just in 2022 saw the highest number ever of journalists killed in the field while on duty. It's all throughout the world, in Ukraine, in South Mexico, South America, the highest number ever of journalists killed this past year in 2022. And, you know, here in Canada, you know, the violence happening here in Toronto that we've been seeing, the TTC, and just in transit, public transit, and just against the homeless population, there's been this rise against violence with them and against them, and it's just troubling. It's troubling to see this kind of thing happening, and we need to, you know, keep coming to the Lord in prayer about this. But at the same time, there's another report that has just come out. It's just been published. This seems to be a silver lining emerging here in the midst of all this bad stuff going on. Something new, something good is opening up, creating new opportunities here. A new study from the Barna Research Group, you might have heard of them, has just been published on the topic of spirituality. And this study is kind of taking the temperature of people, kind of generally, in kind of how are things going? What are they saying about spirituality? You may know Barna is a well-known, well-respected research organization that's been tracking the state of Christianity for almost 40 years now. They're conducting, analyzing research to understand cultural trends and just related to values and beliefs, attitudes, behaviors. So this survey was conducted in the U.S. But it also just represents kind of general North American culture, you know, which includes Canada, and I think it applies that very much to us here as well. And this study is also indicative of what's going on in the world, because of how they connect a lot of their research to the pandemic and what's been happening with the pandemic. And this has, of course, affected, you know, everyone in the world. So this study was done back in October. And it was conducted just a few months ago. 2,000 people were interviewed online in the U.S., and this group was quota sampled, which means that they are trying to maximize, you know, fair representation here in the areas of age, gender, race, ethnicity, region, education, and income. So let's take a look at this first slide here. Spiritual openness in the U.S., okay? So a few areas here that they were looking at. One, I believe in God or a higher power, 77% there. I would like to grow spiritually, 74%. I am more open to God today than I was before the pandemic, 44%. Barnab Group notes that these percentages have all increased significantly compared to previous studies, similar studies that they've done before on similar topics. And it's not just a response to the pandemic. This is culture and society kind of in general, kind of the state of our world here. And Barna is saying that though religious affiliation has been gradually declining, right, in our society, spiritual openness, spiritual curiosity seems to be on the rise. It's a new trend here. So believing in a higher power and this desire to grow spiritually, wow, 77% and 74% here. I find this quite interesting. I mean, where is this coming from? What's causing this? Are these people experiencing maybe a sense of spiritual emptiness in their lives? And where is that coming from? What's fascinating is that, well, I guess before you can say, if you just take a step back, before you can say I want to grow spiritually, there first has to be some kind of awareness that we kind of have a spiritual side to us, right? There's something spiritual about this. There needs to be at least some awareness of that. If you say, oh yes, I want to grow in that area, if I want to grow spiritually, right? There seems to be some kind of consciousness there among people. Now, this isn't necessarily Christian spirituality. This is kind of just general spirituality that they're asking. So there's a kind of a wide definition here, and people have many different, a wide range of definitions here. But there seems to be this awareness that one can kind of be spiritually alive or spiritually dead, that you need to kind of grow if you want to be alive spiritually, or if I want to develop in this area. And a high number of people are expressing this. They want to move in this direction of developing spiritually, whatever that might mean for them. They want to grow in this. And you know, for some people that are interviewed, you know, this could mean a lot of things. I mean, it could just mean, oh, they want to do more yoga or something, right? That's their spirituality. But in any case, it's what's being indicated here is that people are wanting more spirituality in their lives, and they're sensing a lacking of some kind. They're sensing that something is lacking, and they want more. Well, let's turn to Jesus' words this morning. Okay, he says here, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. There are different readings, interpretations of this phrase, poor in spirit here. I don't intend to review all of them, but in light of this research that we're looking at this morning on spirituality, I think Jesus is saying something here. Jesus has something to say to this. These people in this research here, that they're talking about recognizing their own spiritual need here in their lives. They're saying, I want to be a little richer spiritually in my life. I may not know exactly what that means. I may not know what that looks like, but I want a little bit more of that. There's God out there, some kind of higher power out there, and maybe I can make a connection there in some way. Now, granted, they may be referring to many different brands of spirituality, not necessarily Christian spirituality, and so they would need to be guided to Christ, to his spirituality, in order to really receive the life-giving spirit from him. But when we say this, that we are poor spiritually, we are recognizing this kind of lacking, that I need something here, that this is an area where I need to grow, right? There's something that I can be given here. And this is acknowledging that I have this. And Jesus is responding here saying that, well, you are blessed then. You are blessed. For God wants to bless you in this. He wants to enrich you spiritually. And actually, your blessings here are already resting upon you. It's already there. And God wants to give you in its totality the fullness of his kingdom when we acknowledge that we are poor in spirit. The blessing for being poor in spirit is to be given the kingdom of heaven itself and what it's all about. There are a variety of translations of this passage out there, a lot of them, which also accounts for why there's so many different interpretations of this very short statement by Jesus here. Well, one of my favorites comes from the New Living Translation. Do you use that translation? It says here that God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is there. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. I don't think it's a material, kind of being poor materially, but rather a spiritual one here that Jesus is referring to, and our need for God, realizing our need for God. The blessings come by means of our own realization and acknowledgement that in and of ourselves, we're not enough. Coming to realize that we're not enough in and of ourselves. And so we can kind of title this the first of our three sections here about lesser making richer here, that one, I am not enough. But we certainly try to be enough, don't we? We try to have that sense, right? That I don't want to depend on anybody else. I don't want to be a burden to anybody else. I can be self-sufficient. I can be fully independent, right? Okay. But the problem is that then we transfer that onto God. We transfer that same thinking to God and our relationship with God, and that's where we start to go wrong. That's kind of the lie that we start to believe that, well, I don't really need you, God. I can manage this. I got this. I don't really need you. I'm pretty sufficient in this. I don't really need you. I don't really need you to be involved. But see, what Jesus is saying here is that by taking that approach, we're blocking ourselves off from the blessings. Blessings that God has for us, and not just little trickles of blessing, but the fullness of the kingdom of God that God wants to bless us with. This is where the blessings are when we acknowledge that, no, Lord, I need you. We need to turn to the one who knows us better than ourselves. Say, no, Lord, I need you. I need to surrender my self-sufficiency to you and exchange it for your sufficiency in my life. I can't do this without you. I am not good enough. I am not enough, but you are, Lord. You are sufficient. You are more than enough than I need for what I need. And only you can fill what I am poor in and what I am and lacking, especially enriching me spiritually. The Apostle Paul came to realize this in his life, and he came to the conclusion that not only is he not enough, but as he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. For Paul, it's so much less of himself so that he can be filled with Christ and his power in his life. Paul also puts it this way. He says, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul's weakness, his lacking here, is filled with God's grace and his sufficiency. And this is enough. This is enough for Paul and for us too. So this brings us to our next point. You could say here that if the first part is about how I'm not enough, then this next part is about how I am not all there is. I am not all there is. Let's take a look at the next slide here, this next section from the study. Americans' openness to spirituality. Here they pose this question to the people. They said, do you think there is a spiritual or supernatural dimension to the world, or do you not think this? And here we have the responses. So 50%, yes, certainly it exists. 30%, I think it exists, but not sure. 11%, I don't think it exists, but possible. And then 9%, no, I do not believe it exists. So according to this information, so 80%, we got 80% here, which is a very high number of those interviewed, think that there is a spiritual, supernatural dimension. It's kind of broken down a little bit by certainty, degree of certainty levels here, 50 and 30. And then 11% saying but maybe, and then 9 not at all. If you recall last week, we were, Chinese New Year, right? We were talking about the different traditions and customs, right, of Chinese New Year and what we do at this time of year and how all this shows that we were talking about how this shows that there's a strong awareness and consciousness among the Chinese of the spiritual world, of the spiritual dimension. And that's kind of why you do these different customs at this time of year. And this goes way back into ancient Chinese history. Remember, we're talking about that, this consciousness of God, and that there are spiritual powers out there, and they affect me. They affect our lives. They affect our society, our culture. And so all the different things that is done, things that are done at Chinese New Year are kind of acknowledging all of this, right? It's acknowledging this realm out there. Today we might just call it good luck, bad luck, right? Just superstition, but it's still acknowledging some of this, that well, whatever it is, if it's good luck, we do something to kind of invite that in, you know, or if it's bad luck, we do something to keep that out, right? But there's this consciousness there of this kind of thing, and this survey is operating along the same lines here, right? That we're seeing the same kind of acknowledgement, at least, by people, and this kind of sensitivity to sort of powers out there, a spiritual dimension out there beyond us. People may have no clue what it's about or how it works or what's going on there, but they are showing some faith here. Some faith in this world, saying that, well, I cannot see these things, but I believe it's there. There's something there. And it affects me. It exists. And this is significant. And this high number of here that's being shown here, this is significant. You know, for those who acknowledge that this realm exists, they're saying, well, hey, wait a minute here, maybe humankind isn't at the center of the universe. Maybe the world doesn't operate entirely in service to the great mankind or humankind here. And then maybe for me personally, I'm not at the center of the universe. That everything orbits around me. Maybe there's other things out there, things greater than me, more powerful than me, another dimension out there that can actually control this world, that can control my life. Kind of opening the door to that. And then the next big question becomes, well then, if that's so, if that's the case, what does this power or powers think of me? What do they think of me? And that can be kind of a humbling question or a little frightening one to kind of start to think about that. How does it really affect my life? And so acknowledging this spiritual dimension here is a kind of reduction of the self. You can kind of head in that direction here, right? By acknowledging that, yes, there is this spiritual world out there. But again, going back to Jesus' words here, right? He's saying, okay, but that's also where the blessings are. This is a different aspect of being poor in spirit, a different way of coming at being poor in spirit, that when we acknowledge that God is out there, we acknowledge that he's bigger than us, that God is greater than our little worlds that we create for ourselves, where we sit as king and we sit as queen in our world here, and we rule it. We exercise full control over it. If we're saying that God is bigger than this, and that God is actually the one who rules this world and my life, Jesus is saying, well, now you're starting to take hold of the blessings that are being offered to you. And we are being poor in spirit, as Jesus says, when we acknowledge his rule in the world and in our lives. As it says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. We're blessed when we say, God, yes, you are in control. This universe, this world really is yours, and you are Lord also of my world. I need to actually surrender my world to you and instead replace my world with your world, which is your kingdom, the kingdom of God, that your kingdom becomes my kingdom, where you rule and you rule over me. So Jesus is saying that when we open up this kind of space, when we open up this kind of space in our lives, in our hearts for God, then He comes in. He comes in and He blesses us. He fills this space with Himself and with His kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. That space is there for the kingdom to come in for those who are poor in spirit. And this is what it means to pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In my life, Lord, in this world, Lord, let it come. I'm opening the space for you. Let it come into this world and into my life. And so if the first group of data here says, I am not enough, second one is saying here, I am not all there is, then the third and last part says, I am not all by myself. And let's take a look at the final section of this study here. Rising spiritual hunger in the U.S., percentage of U.S. adults who, four categories here based on age groups. Okay, they're asking the same questions here. Would you like to grow spiritually? Are you certain or think there's a spiritual supernatural dimension that exists? Do you believe in God or a higher power? And it's now broken up by generations here, Gen Z, millennials, Gen X, and boomers. So across every generation now, we're seeing an unprecedented desire to grow spiritually, this belief in a spiritual, supernatural dimension, a belief in God, a higher power. Do you notice the even spread? Interesting, the even spread here across generations. Other topics that Barnes has done on and surveys they've done, it depends on the topic, depends on different things that there's a very different breakdown across the generations. But in this one, look at that even spread across all four generations. And this is, definitely has connection to the pandemic. I think as the world as a whole is emerging out of this shroud of the pandemic, it's affected young and old, everybody, right? So there's definitely a connection there to that and what the pandemic has done in this and affecting the entire world. If the pandemic has put everybody in the same boat, right, regardless of your age and what generation you are, right? But whether it's the pandemic or other factors involved here, there's a common sentiment here among all people, all ages, all generations, for more spirituality, for more of God in this. They're sensing this lacking in their lives, that there is a spiritual world out there, some kind of dimension out there. God is there. He exists. And this need for more of it is being expressed by all ages, young and old. And it reminds us too here in the church. This is a reminder for us in the church that we are still the one body of Christ made up of all ages here in this church family. This is the natural environment of the church. It's a wonderful gift of God. It's His design that regardless of our age or what generation we are or where we're coming from, we can all grow spiritually in this. And God honors that desire in each of us to grow more in Him. That our experience of God in our lives is not just limited to ourselves. It comes so much more alive when we share it in community with each other, when we're walking this journey of spiritual growth and development with Christ, when we're doing it in relationships, when we're doing it in friendships, when we're doing it in the context of family, our spiritual family, and also our biological family. Okay, but the thing is, it's very easy to get compartmentalized. It's easy to get compartmentalized even within here in the church. We have our own relationship with God personally. We have our own relationship with God. Following Jesus in our lives is good. That's important. We also have our separate fellowship groups, also broken down by these generations, right? We have our fellowship groups divided up by kind of life stage and age group, right? That's good. It's good. We need these things. We do this, but we need to be mindful that we are still part of a greater whole. We're always part of a greater whole in all of this that we do, that we don't want to see the extent of our Christian lives only going as far as just my relationship with Jesus and nobody else really exists, right? That's not the extent of it. Or my Christian life is only to the extent of the small group I'm in. And that's pretty much it. Nothing else really exists. That's got to break out of that. That we're always part of the greater family here in this church community. We're doing this together. It's not meant to be done in isolation, that we're traveling this journey of faith together as the people of God. And this is how God intended it to be, as the whole body of Christ. It helps us to think in terms of less of myself and more of others, more of my brothers and sisters around me. Let's support each other. Let's care for each other. As Paul reminds us, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Discipleship in community means that through our brothers and sisters around us, God speaks to you. And then through you, God speaks to your brothers and sisters around you. So this survey today really, really is telling. It shows us a lot. It's definitely taking the kind of spiritual temperature of the people, people right now in society, and it's getting a sense of how people are feeling. There's an indicator here. An indicator that people are kind of feeling this sense of being poor in spirit, recognizing their spiritual need here. They want to grow in this. There's some needs here that they want met. And so this is encouraging. This should encourage us. In the middle of all the bad news out there, here's something that should really encourage us, this kind of openness to God, this openness to spirituality that's out there among the people. All walks of life, all ages, all age groups, all generations. This should encourage us. Strike up those conversations about God, about spirituality. Carry on those conversations if you find yourself in one. Carry on. Don't shy away from them, knowing that there's people out there who are open to this. They would like to have conversations about this, but maybe they're the ones not sure. They're the ones afraid to open up about this. You know, but that's where we can encourage others and encourage these conversations to happen. It may not be about Christian spirituality. It may just be something else. But that's where, you know, you can share about your own Christian spirituality. You can share about, you know, your own faith, your journey, what you think about there being a higher power out there and God being out there, and maybe you have the opportunity to share your personal faith in Christ Jesus with them. Why you follow Him, why you have Him, why you choose to have Him in your life. But we're also being taught here by what these people are saying, by what they're expressing here. We're being taught here something very important about being poor in spirit, being reminded here of Jesus' words here. Being poor in spirit, that it's less of ourselves, more of God and others, recognizing our own need, what we lack, so that we can be enriched by God. It's a very good reminder here. And so we say, I'm not enough, but God is. He's sufficient. We say, I'm not all there is, but God is there. And He is much more than the full extent of who I am. And we say, I'm not all by myself on this journey. God is always with me. He surrounds me with community, people, brothers and sisters to journey with so that I can learn to love others and be loved, to know others and to be known in this community. Being poor in spirit is how we receive the blessings of the kingdom of God, and it's how we meet Jesus Himself, to know Him. If people out there who may or may not know God, if they are already expressing this hunger, if they are already expressing this need and this they're having this recognition themselves, then how much more important it is for us who have God in our lives, who have a relationship with Christ, we too need to be recognizing our hunger, that there needs to be a hunger, that we too should be growing spiritually, that we have this desire to grow spiritually. Otherwise, what do we have to offer them? A glass full of milk, or any beverage, really. It cannot spill over until it's first empty. It has to first be empty, and it has to fill up, and then it can spill over. Are we first acknowledging our own spiritual emptiness before God? That's the first step. That's where it has to start, that we are spiritually empty. We're spiritually poor before the Lord. And then God can fill us up, can fill the cup up, and we can be enriched with His sufficiency, with His strength, with His grace, with His power, with His mercies, and with the fullness of His kingdom. And then as we're filled up, then it starts to spill over onto others. And what are these people like who are getting spilled onto? They're already expressing their own openness to all of this. They're already expressing their own hunger. They're already saying, I kind of need something here. I'm interested. That's a wonderful place to be, where what's spilling out from you is going on to those who are open to it. They would love to be filled like you with what you have. But we need to be experiencing God's grace in our lives first. It starts there. We need to be experiencing it first if we're going to have anything to say or to offer to them. And then we can say, come, come and see. Come and see the Lord. Come and meet the Lord Jesus. Come and taste that He is good, because He is the only one who can give you what you're looking for. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for how you teach us in this area. Lord, we thank you for some of this research that has come out recently to give us a sense of direction here, a little awareness of what's out there, Lord, that there is a spiritual hunger out there, Lord, that's rising in the middle of just this chaotic world that we live in, Lord. Father, help us to respond. Help us to respond in a way that honors you and that really brings forth your gospel into this world. It starts with us, Lord, recognizing our own spiritual need before you, that we are empty and that we need to be filled with you and your goodness and what your kingdom is all about, so that others will see, so that those conversations will happen and that we can share your goodness and the love of Christ with others who are so open, that are just wanting something different and new, some hope, some peace in their lives. And we can understand why. We thank you, Lord, and help us in this. Pray that we can be people that carries the light of your love into this world because of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to carry on that prayer.